I'm joined on the phone right now with Montreal activist, independent journalist, and CKUT correspondent Stéphane Christophe, who is in Beirut. Welcome to the program, Stéphane.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
So you've been in Lebanon for the last few months now, traveling around the country, doing reporting, and specifically looking at the situation in the various Palestinian refugee camps that exist across the country. Perhaps you can talk a little bit about these camps, what you've seen of them, and the conditions under which people live in them.
Well, across Lebanon, there's 12 official refugee camps. There's a couple of other unofficial camps, but 12 official camps, meaning camps that receive services from the United Nations. They're across the country, in the south, in the north, and a couple which border the outskirts of Beirut, Lebanon's capital. Right now, Lebanon is in flux, political flux, and there's a lot of changes taking place in the country, political changes. And obviously, those do affect the Palestinian refugees. Palestinians make up approximately 10% of the country, although they don't hold citizenship in Lebanon. The majority of refugees are either those who are directly displaced through the creation of the State of Israel in 1948, or the descendants of those who are displaced in 48. So the refugees in the camps today, in the context of the political changes, I would say that there is a lot of worry, there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of uncertainty about the future. One thing specifically I think would be important to mention is a proposal that's floating right now among the newly formed government here in Lebanon. It was proposed by the current labor minister, Trad Hamedi, that Palestinians would now be allowed to apply for foreign work permits in Lebanon. That would change a historical situation in the country where Palestinians have essentially been barred from working in basically every single job you could think of. It was about 78 professions they were barred from working in and are still barred today. However, the proposal would allow Palestinians to apply for work permits in, let's say, hard labor, construction, security guards at buildings, taxi cab drivers, agricultural workers, basically all the hard labor. The proposal hasn't been put through yet, but I think it's important to look at it in the context of the changes in the country. When the Syrian troops withdrew in April, 15,000 troops that had been in Lebanon since the civil war, thousands upon thousands of Syrian workers also withdrew from the country. And prior to that time, Syrian workers had been doing a lot of the hard labor. Now, a lot of people in the camps are saying that the proposed changes to the labor laws regarding Palestinians is basically an attempt to fill the cheap labor vacuum left by the Syrian worker withdrawal. So despite this, it's not a solution. Palestinians would still be barred from working in, let's say, quote-unquote professional positions, journalism, medicine, engineering, journalism, these types of things. So the situation is not going to really change. And more broadly than that, Palestinians live in extreme poverty here in the country, especially in the south, in the camps in the south. The infrastructure in many cases is not sufficient. Housing in the camps is basically substandard. Houses are still falling apart. A lot of them haven't been repaired since the end of the Civil War in 1990. Military checkpoints around the camps, especially in the south, where recently harsher restrictions have been introduced, in which Palestinians' documents are checked when they enter and exit the camp on a regular basis, on a one-by-one basis. So I guess just to wrap up this point, generally the situation hasn't changed a lot in terms of poverty, in terms of the institutional persecution that Palestinians have faced historically in Lebanon. However, the point is that changes will be taking place in parallel with the political changes more broadly in the country. The question is what are those changes going to be? And there's a lot of ideas, a lot of theories of what they will be, and I gave a couple of ideas.
Now, it's interesting you brought up the issue of the proposed changes to the labor restrictions on Palestinian refugees. Stefan, you yourself work also with the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees here in Montreal, and that fact that Palestinian refugees in Lebanon are barred from working over 70 professions is continually cited as one of the reasons why their refugee claims should be granted in Canada. So perhaps you could talk a little bit about what changes this could have on Palestinian refugees here in Canada, and also if you could talk about the delegation that will be happening this coming Monday when people in cities across the world will be visiting Canadian embassies.
Well, in regards to Palestinian refugees in Montreal, they're fleeing, the ones from Lebanon are fleeing a low-intensity war here in the country. I mean, it's not a war against Palestinians as was seen throughout the civil war, you know, waged with bullets and bombs, but it's a war that's waged in more institutional and subtle ways. Even if the proposed changes regarding the labor law go through, Palestinians are going to remain ghettoized. They're going to remain isolated from social and political life in the country, and persecution will still exist. Many other laws remain. For instance, Palestinians are barred from owning property. That was a law that was instituted even after the Civil War. For instance, also, Palestinians in the south cannot bring construction materials into the camp, which leaves the buildings in disarray in substandard conditions. So in terms of refugees in Montreal, even if those changes do go through, it's very clear that Palestinians in the country, in Lebanon, are living in terrible conditions, are experiencing, as I said before, a low-intensity war. So if people do make that choice to leave the camps of Lebanon and flee to claim asylum in Canada, it remains clear that asylum should be granted to any Palestinian who does apply. So I guess in this light, it's been really interesting to visit the camps because you see a parallel between Montreal and Lebanon in terms of the Palestinian struggle. You have an ongoing struggle here in Lebanon, both to gain the civil rights, which are lacking that I spoke about, but the larger issue, which is the struggle for Palestinian liberation. Palestinians in the camp continue to assert their right to return to their homeland from which they're displaced through the creation of the State of Israel. They continue to assert their support for the larger Palestinian struggle against Israeli occupation in the West Bank and Gaza. So I think that overshadows a lot of political life within the camps. But you see that parallel with the Palestinians in Montreal because they have lived the circumstances here and have carried those ideas and those bases for struggle to Canada and continue to fight for status in a country in which they thought originally they would gain status, which is Canada. So the struggle against statelessness is parallel in both nations. So it kind of illustrates that Palestinians around the world continue today to struggle for statehood or for, let's say, nationality. But around the world now, the Palestinian struggle has become global in nature. It doesn't exist in one place. It doesn't exist only in Palestine. But due to displacement of refugees throughout the world, it manifests in every corner and every continent. This coming Monday, people throughout the world will be visiting Canadian embassies, you know, in Tel Aviv, Canada, the United States, and here in Lebanon. And the purpose of this visit essentially is to highlight and to protest and to reject the deportation of Palestinian refugees from Canada. Here in Beirut, we will be visiting the consulate. The security restrictions for Western embassies are very, very tight. And to be honest, it's quite dangerous for anyone who doesn't hold a Western passport to enter any embassy building, Canadian or Western European or American, without authorized permission, given the really unstable security situation in Lebanon. So people with Canadian passports will be visiting the consulate and attempting to speak to the ambassador of Canada to Lebanon about this issue. The prior ambassador in Lebanon was actually addressed on an individual basis concerning the deportation of Palestinian refugees in 2003 by other members of the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees. So we'll continue this year in 2005 to stress the importance for the embassy in Lebanon, who, given that they are in this country, should understand and should at least have knowledge of the persecution which Palestinians face here, you know, to pressure the embassy to take a stand on this issue. So that's why we're doing it on Monday. And I guess, again, just to finish, it really illustrates the fact that, you know, Palestinian struggle is not localized. It's not something that only exists in what we refer to as Palestine, but exists around the world. And I think that is a point of inspiration, which is that there's a globalization of what is being called the Intifada. It's manifested in different ways, and through different political tactics, but, you know, it does exist in various forms throughout the world. And we see that in Lebanon, we see that in Palestine, we see that even in Canada. It's not an armed struggle, but there is a ongoing vigilant support for the Palestinian resistance also in Canada.
We've been on the phone with Stéphane Christophe, a Montreal activist, independent journalist, and of course CKUT correspondent. Thank you, Stéphane, for joining us today.
Thanks, Aaron.